Hi everybody, this is Jonathan Farrington and this is the latest episode of the JF Interview Series. My guest today is Barb Giamanco. Barb's the CEO of Social Centered Selling and she's the founder of the Women in Sales Hub. Barb and her team can help your company and sales organization adapt to today's modern buyer. You can amplify your brand and message, improve demand and lead generation, and increase revenue. Committed to excellence in selling, Barb contributes her expertise and content to the Sales Experts channel, Top Sales World, Women Sales Pros, and through her blog and popular conversations with women in sales and Razor's Edge podcasts. Barb, I would say, in the around about 12, 13 years I've known her, it's patently obvious that she's not only a pioneer, but she's also a crusader and evangelist for the women in sales movement, which is to be applauded. And that's really what I'm going to focus on today. So welcome, Barb.
Thank you, Jonathan. It's good to be back.
Well, it's always good to have you, Barb. Now, I recently read a post that you wrote called Constructing Sales Success, Tips for Women in Sales. And so I've got a few questions for you. I thought it would be a great topic for this interview or this conversation. Now, what you said is, one of the things you said, the many sales challenges faced by men and women in sales roles are largely the same. And then you gave some examples. Do you want to sort of highlight those?
Yes. So, you know, I think today it's pretty clear to most folks in sales, Jonathan, and certainly you see this in the work you do and the research that you do for Sandler. It's tougher to get through to buyers today. Sales leaders are constantly struggling with the fact that there are not enough qualified leads in the pipeline. You know, it's hard to keep your competition at bay. It's important to keep those sales skills sharp and, you know, things are changing so rapidly. So whether you're a male or a female in selling, those things apply equally. But there are some other things that I know we're going to talk about that I feel that women do sometimes, and they don't realize that there are perhaps some unconscious behaviors that they're exhibiting that cause additional challenges for them.
Mm. Yeah, I agree. Something I wanted to ask you, which was aside from the post, the blog post, now that the women in sales movement, inverted commas, is right at the forefront of people's thinking, thanks to people like you and Laurie Richardson and Joanne Black and of course, Jill Conrath and many more, and has been for a number of years, which we, of course, through JF Initiatives, which is Top Sales World, Top Sales Magazine, etc., have endeavoured to support as much as we possibly can. Is there a danger, Barb, that women in attempting to what they may feel sort of get into a man's world, right? Penetrate a man's world. Is there a danger that they could, rather than being assertive, actually become unintentionally aggressive?
That is a good question. It's possible. I think it's in the way that you approach it. So, for example, on my podcast, The Conversations with Women in Sales, anyone who is a guest who wants to come on and chat with me, I make it very clear that this is about keeping things very positive and looking at ways to improve upon the situation because we're as much a part of that as anybody else. And so I think it's in the tone and the attitude that you take. We need to talk about these things, but we also need to be clear in making suggestions that I think are helpful. So for example, I talk to conference organizers still to this day of sales conferences when I see that their conference is front-loaded with all guys and maybe one or two women who are speakers on the stage. And so I'll reach out to them and say, listen, you know, I'd love to help you if you're having trouble finding other women who could be speakers. And so I think in order to like make sure that people aren't thinking we're being too aggressive, or I've had certain men who've said, well, are you suggesting that we should just put women in sales roles or leadership roles just because they're women? Absolutely not. So I think it's in the approach that you take.
Yeah, I think that is absolutely spot on, Barb. And, you know, 13 years ago when we launched Top Sales World as an example, I was very mindful of the fact that probably only about 20% of that first team of contributors were female. And, you know, I really set about looking for and finding and exposing and promoting females, because all of my commercial life, I have unintentionally, I should tell you, always had a balance, whether it's in my sales team or on my board of directors or whatever. And it has worked so well. And I picked up a point that you have said that, you know, where there is inclusion and diversity in organizations, the whole thing just works so much better. And you're absolutely right. And I'm living proof of that. You know, we always achieve the success that we achieve because there was a balance.
Well, I agree with that. And then for those who need more, they can check out any number of great research reports that now make it very clear that women tend to stay in their roles longer. So they're literally more loyal to the organization. More often than not, they are outperforming their sales counterparts who are male. You know, their deals are as profitable, if not more profitable, than men. So it isn't just what I hope people remember when they think about diversity and inclusion. It isn't just the nice to have. There's a, you know, there's a monetary bottom line that gets impacted. And then think about the customer experience. Customers are typically fairly diverse. You know, I have rarely seen a company, Jonathan, in my selling history, where there wasn't diversity in that customer's organization and the people that you're working with. So for that reason alone, in order to create better customer experiences, you want diverse people on the team.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, thinking about the relationships that women in sales create, you actually said, often we hear that women possess the innate strength of building relationships. Whilst I believe that to be true, I've also noticed that many women shy away from leveraging the power of the relationship they've built. So in other words, I think what you're saying there, if I'm correct, is that they're good at building it, but they're not good at using it for commercial advantage. Yes?
Absolutely. And I'm just going to say right now, I'm as guilty as anyone. And so I have found myself in certain situations, not reaching into my network to ask for help if I needed or to make an introduction. I'm more, as a matter of fact, you mentioned Joanne as we got started. She and I were just chatting last night. And I was saying that, you know, I'm 100% better at making and giving introductions than I am even asking for them myself, which is kind of silly because I talk a lot with my guests and others about how important it is for us to be sure that we are using the power of our network. And I think what it is, Jonathan, is women worry that we're going to be seen as taking advantage, or we're just focused on our own, you know, agenda, or we're overly ambitious. And that's just crazy. All you have to do is make and ask. And if you've put into the relationship what you also want to get out of it, people will help you if you ask them. The caveat for me, whether it's a man or a woman, we may be connected, which to me is different than a relationship. We might be connected, let's say on LinkedIn. If I never hear from you and then out of the blue, after I haven't heard from you for a year or 2 years or three, you come to me and you want me to help you get a job or promote your next whatever, then I'm less likely to want to do that. But in general, if you're investing in helping other people, it's okay to ask them to help you.
Yeah, I mean, the word that you use there that I like very much is invest. And, you know, I had this conversation with good chum Tiff Bova a few weeks ago, and we were talking about relationships. And it's my experience that if you have invested in a relationship, in other words, you've given freely and willingly, not kept score, okay, eventually, if there is something that you need, there is no reason to be embarrassed to ask. But what really irks me, and you can imagine, Barb, this happens a lot. I get requests, oh, Jonathan, I'm publishing a new book next week. Do you think Top Sales World could promote it? And I haven't heard from this person for probably 5 years. And I'm thinking, why? What's in it for me? And, you know, that's when I rally a little bit, you know, and I sort of stand back and think, well, no, because it's got to be win-win, and this isn't a win-win request. It's about,
absolutely.
It's about giving and taking, or as Jill Conrath accurately described it at least 12 years ago, it's getting it. And getting it is exactly that. It's win-win. And it's investing your good word into a relationship. And then, of course, having no embarrassment about asking for a favor back. Barb, you talk about the TMI trap. That's a new one on me. Can you describe that?
TMI stands for too much information. And men and women can fall into this trap. And there were some studies done a few years ago that floated around. They're an urban myth on the internet that said women speak 20,000 words in a day. Men only speak 7,000. Well, that was debunked by a major university in the United States. It turns out that men and women use about the same amount of words in, you know, how they speak and communicate with other people. The difference is women do tend to give a lot of backstory. And so if they have a suggestion or an idea, what they want to do is they want to go into all this backstory and background before they get to the point. So too much information is one of those places where women can do a better job. Go ahead and get your point out there. If more people need additional information to back that up, and this is especially true inside a company, think about it. If you're my boss, manager of my team, I want to suggest a new strategy for us, then I need to just say, Jonathan, team, I'd like you to consider that we should do X, Y, and Z. Put the idea out there, and then as people need more information, you can get into it. But what women tend to do is they want to give you the whole reasoning behind their suggestion, and then their suggestion is often missed.
Yeah, absolutely. There was something else in this post that I you opened my eyes a little, because I think I knew it, but I'd forgotten it, or maybe I hadn't even realized. And maybe I hadn't picked it up at all. You say that, you know, there's an old joke out. Sorry, I'll quote you. There is that old joke about there not being an I in team, which always made me laugh. Look closely at the word and you'll see the word me, not we, me. And what you're suggesting is that male frontline sales professionals use the word I more often when speaking. Women, on the other hand, use the word we. I mean, is that, that must be true.
It is very true. And where that comes from is, first of all, women, we're sort of socialized. I can say this, I'm obviously a woman and a woman in sales on top of that, but we're sort of socialized not to take credit for ourselves, that pretty much anything that we do is the result of, you know, some team effort. Now, when you're an individual sales contributor, it's not as much of an issue. But even in sales calls, if you listen, and I've listened in on calls when I'm coaching reps, you'll hear women tend to use we as, I think, part of a way to build a relationship with the person on the other side. But where this becomes a real problem, and the reason I wrote about it, I'm not the first person to talk about it, is that especially when women are leading teams or leading a project or leading some sort of an effort, when the team accomplishes very successful results, it's a tendency for the woman to say, yes, we did this and we did that and what a great team effort. The problem is the people above don't know what your actual contribution is. And if you put a team together, you led that team to the success. It's okay to be a little more specific about, you know, I started this initiative with my team. These are the team results. This is how I help them get results. And so I think in addition to we're taught this, women also worry that if they talk about their own accomplishments, that's seen as bragging.
Yeah. You know, from my experience, the worst performing group of people, if you put them in a room together and just give them a thought and ask them to come up with, an answer. OK, come up with a strategy. All right. You've got half a day, guys. Off you go. Get on with it. OK. And next door, you've got a group of women and you give them the same challenge. And then in the room next to that, you put a mixed team in. Which one of those groups do you think is more likely to come up with a really superb strategy?
I don't know. Is this a trick question? I'm going to say the diverse group.
You're absolutely right, Barb. Yeah. And do you know the worst performing group?
It could be a toss-up between the women and the men.
No,
although,
don't sit on the fence.
I'd probably say men, because men tend to be even more competitive and trying to make, you know, it's like it's got to be their idea. So I think I'd have to go with the men.
Yeah, definitely the men, and really markedly so. I mean, you know, put a group of men in there, and the alpha males, you know, really have a field day. The women do quite well, but they spend too much time deciding who's going to lead the group, because you need somebody to lead the group. Whereas the mixed group just seem to blend, you know. The gentlemen are polite and the ladies are assertive, and it just seems to work perfectly. Right.
Well, yes. And the other thing that I was going to say is that I also want to point out that it's important for women because many women don't even realize that sometimes they're judging. So sometimes women are also minimizing their achievements, or when we talked about asking for assistance in, you know, this relationship network you've built, there are a lot of women who are actually making judgments about other women. And to be fair, many times they don't even know they're doing it. So think about how challenging that can be. Like you already feel like you're being judged in a whole different way than the men, but there's also an understanding, and I've learned through experience, unfortunately, that sometimes women get in other women's way as well. So the message I want to put out there is, ladies, we all need to help each other. The day is long past when we, you know, just got to get ours and not help other people coming up in the ranks, which, by the way, is something men do very well.
Yeah. And the other thing I noticed when you put, you know, when you have three groups, as I suggested earlier, women in a diverse group are much more assertive than when they're in a women-only group.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that they seem to feel a need to prove anything. It's just they feel more comfortable in a diverse situation. And if you think about it, I mean, that's human life, isn't it?
Well, it is. And, you know, you put a lot of women together and they're going to sometimes spend a whole lot of time on the relationship side of it, maybe less hesitant getting to the brass tacks of the business side of it. And then then the other fears come in. What are the other women going to think? Is there, you know, am I coming off as too competitive or too much of a know-it-all? And so, you know, it's a little bit of a challenge. I've been in both types of groups, and they each have their own interesting, unique dynamics.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. But I, you know, I can only base that on experience, personal experience. And, you know, there are very few advantages to getting older, but experience is one of those advantages, I can tell you. You have that to look. You have that to look forward to, Barbs. Okay. Well, look, we're getting close to the witching hour, but it's something I wanted to ask you, which I read and liked. It's you call it people pleasing and the perfection gap, and I was delighted that you quoted Voltaire, who, of course, said perfect is the enemy of good. Talk to us about that, Barbs.
You know, I think even more so, women very much are always trying to please. They're always trying to be perfect. And this isn't just based on my own experience or talking with women to try and get them on the podcast. There's research that supports that if women, if there's a job put up, let's say it's for a leadership role in an organization, women look at the requirements of that job and they say to themselves, am I 100% qualified? And if I don't have 100% of the qualifications, I'm not going to put my name in the ring. The guys, on the other hand, can be roughly 60% qualified. They could be 30% qualified, but they'll still go for it. So women do really fall into this trap of thinking before they can embark on anything new or take a big risk, then they got to be 100% of the way there, which is crazy. You just can't possibly ever be there. And if you know you have a strong network, and these days we can find good information quickly from a multitude of resources, but that's an issue there. And then women, again, they fall into this trap of trying to please people. Am I being too aggressive? Am I coming off as too self-serving? Am I, you know, so they're always worrying. And I also mentioned in the post that I had a manager at one of my last corporate jobs who said to me, you know, Barb, you do really good work. And because he had given me a review and he's saying, you do all this good work. And I notice every single time what you do is you go right to the one thing you think you didn't do well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I said, well, because I'm always interested in improving. He said, yes, but you know, you're really good. And I worry that you're not accepting that. You're always looking for the next thing to try and make yourself perfect. And I was kind of annoyed by it at first, Jonathan. And then as I thought about it later, I realized that's right. And think about how many times people don't embark or take a risk, male and female, by the way. They don't try a new idea because they're afraid they don't have it perfectly figured out, or they just kind of give up. So in a way, if you're not careful, trying to be perfect also can be an excuse for not trying new things.
Yeah. I couldn't agree more, Bob. In my world, perfection doesn't exist, all right? Perfection's a goal and it remains a goal because we can all do better. We can all improve. And, you know, as long as we keep that front of mind, we will improve. We will get better. But, you know, if anybody thinks they've reached the stage of perfection, and as a consequence, they switch off and stop learning, they may as well pack up and go home. That's my view. Okay, look, it's been great to have you back, Barb. What we must do is leave the listeners with the details of how they can listen through to your podcast, how they can find you. Would you like to give them the details?
Thank you. I appreciate it. So certainly, look up Conversations with Women in Sales. You'll find the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify. It's all over. It's on the blog at barbaragiamonco.com. And people are also welcome. And I would love to hear from you. Connect with me on LinkedIn and let me know that you heard this interview with Jonathan. And you can certainly follow me on Twitter. So far, Jonathan, I am the only Barbara Giamonco I have come across in the world, so they should be able to find me fairly easily.
Well, thank goodness for that. I think they threw the mold away after you, Bob.
Thank you.
That's MOULD, by the way. No, it's been a great pleasure, and I hope you'll come back again soon.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Okay, everybody. Hope you enjoyed that. I mean, this is such a significant movement, Women in Sales, and which I've been delighted to support because I believe in it passionately. We have to have diversity in the workplace. And as you will have gathered during the course of this conversation, I am living proof that it works. It's not always perfect because, again, perfection doesn't exist. But my goodness, it makes a real difference to a boardroom, to a sales team, and to any sort of team come for that. Thanks for joining us. This is Jonathan Farrington. Until next time. Bye-bye.